Are you ready? Are you ready to awaken your success? If you're ready to awaken your sleeping success, to start accomplishing more and achieving more, pick up your pen, find some paper, tune up the volume, tune out the world, lock your doors, hide your cell phone, and let's get started! Welcome to the Let's Talk Marketing Show. I'm Catherine Franz, your life and business master coach and host. Our show is dedicated today to women over 50, women who are taking the entrepreneurial plunge for the first time and starting a new business, and for women who are now celebrating many years in their business. Our guest today is going to be sharing with us her writing quirks, discussing maintaining a good self-image, and about addressing our aging fears. One of her speaking topics I found very fascinating. It's called Going on the Road with a Big Butt and Gray Hair. We'll definitely bring this up with her and ask her what it's all about. Our sponsor today is the Abundance Center at www.abundancecenter.com. The center has over 300 articles on business, marketing, writing, and the laws of attraction that you'll want to read. That's www.abundancecenter.com. Last week, Gretchen Martins provided listeners with an outstanding ebook, Wow! Workshops and Terrific Teleclasses that Sell Your Business So That You Don't Have To. This ebook is still available for another week in the archives section at the show's website, www.letstalkmarketingshow.com. Our guest today is Dr. Pamela D. Blair, Ph.D. Pamela is a holistic psychotherapist, spiritual counselor, and personal coach with a private practice in Hawthorne, New York. Dr. Blair is also the author of The Next 50 Years, A Guide for Women at Midlife and Beyond. A frequently invited guest on cable and talk radio shows, Dr. Blair has also appeared several times on CBS TV, previously a regular columnist for Single Living, a writer for American Women, and publisher of Surviving Divorce. Currently, Dr. Blair is a contributor to Life Sherpa magazine, www.griefnet.com, Divorce Magazine, Single Parents Magazine, and 50 Plus Magazine. She is also co-author of the best-selling award-winning book on grief entitled I Wasn't Ready to Say Goodbye. Dr. Blair was a professor at Wainwright House Rye in New York and taught at the New York Open Center and the Interfaith Institute in Massachusetts. She is an interfaith minister with a master's from the New Seminary in New York, New York. Dr. Blair earned her Ph.D. from the American Institute of Holistic Theology and has certificates in integrative therapy, therapeutic touch, and treating survivors of destructive families, and is a certified hospice counselor. In addition, she studied at the Transformational Training Institute and the New England Educational Institute for Mental Health. Let's take a short break and then welcome Dr. Blair to the show.
No time to waste, there's so much to celebrate. Believe in what you feel inside and give your dreams the wings to fly. You have everything you need if you just believe.
Choose radio. Choose a big stereo. Choose loudspeakers, car hi-fi, compact disc players, and electrical antennas. Choose sitting on that couch listening to mind-numbing, spirit-crushing commercial radio shows. I chose something else. And the reasons? There are no reasons. Who needs reasons when you've got WEBR, Fairfax County's own freeform radio station that's always commercial-free? It's your station. Use it.
In 1957, Frank Sinatra said,
"Rock and roll smells phony and false.
It is sung, played, and written for the most part by cretinous goons. It manages to be the martial music of every sideburned delinquent on the face of the earth. It is the most brutal, ugly, desperate, vicious form of expression it's ever been my misfortune to hear.
Way to go, Frank. If you agree with him, good luck to you. But if you want to hear some good early rock and roll and rockabilly, tune in every Thursday at 4 p.m. to The Professor Rocks here on WEBR.
There's so much to celebrate. Believe in what you feel inside and give your dreams the wings to fly. You have everything you need if you just.
Dr. Blair, welcome to the Let's Talk Marketing Show. Thank you for coming to our show today and being our guest. After listening to your bio and happened to cut out half of it, I realized how much we accumulate during the years as we get older, and not just in furniture and knickknacks, but just our bio alone. And yours is very impressive.
You know, Catherine, I think it was fun hearing it, I have to tell you. You made me sound so good.
Well, I can't make anything better than it already is. And yeah. I think you're that dynamic lady, and that's why I invited you on the show. Listen, you're a writer. I read your book, and over and over and over again, The Next 50 Years, A Guide for Women at Midlife and Beyond, and I love it. I want to talk with you, and I know our listeners want to hear about your writing quirk.
Okay. Well, first of all, in order to get a book written, I have to lock myself up somewhere. And so I choose hotels, friends who have houses in places that are beautiful, and I lock myself in. I don't brush my teeth. I don't get dressed. I just get coffee and go to my computer at 7 in the morning, and I work from 7 to 12, at which time I shut everything down, go brush my teeth, get dressed, and have fun. And if I don't work that way, I go insane. So I work in 5-hour blocks and then play.
You just get up and just dive right in, right?
Yeah. But you do not want to visit me during those times. It's not pretty. Very productive, but definitely not attractive.
I know, it feels so bad now. I feel like a grouch if I don't write in the morning. What other quirks do you have about writing?
One of my favorite places to write is in Maine, and I sit on a second floor overlooking the water in this house that we rent. And my husband always wants to do something early in the morning, and I absolutely require silence. So I don't know if that's a quirk, but if he drops something or clears his throat, I have to start all over again with what I was writing. So I think that's pretty quirky.
Yeah, it is. Some people can actually stop in mid-sentence and then come back the next day and pick it up.
Yeah.
I think there's been some famous writers that have done that, too. Mm-hmm. I can't remember who they are at the top of my mind this morning.
Well, that's not me, so, you know, I can't do that. Mm. But I do love to write, and because I love to write, it's something that I just flows out of me. But don't interrupt my flow. I get cranky.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you drink coffee or anything like that as a stimulant?
Yes, a drinker and a tea drinker. But what does interrupt me is having to run to the bathroom about 40 times. But that's a good break, you see. You know, you get up, you stretch, you run to the bathroom, you come back to your computer.
And then you just write. You write 5 hours straight. Then you take a break. How long's the break?
It's usually all afternoon. Dive back in the following morning. Now, when I was writing, I wasn't ready to say goodbye. I wrote that with a co-author, and we locked ourselves up in hotels, various hotels around the country. I wasn't ready to say goodbye. That was the first book I wrote, Say Goodbye, which is a bestseller in terms of grief.
Can people buy that over on Amazon or on your website?
Yeah, they can buy that in both places. PamBlair.com.
It's B-L-A-I-R?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's that about? Is that about grief?
It's about sudden loss. It's the only book of its kind. There's lots of books written on grief, you know, death and dying, etc. But on sudden loss and the impact of that on the family and the survivors is a very different topic. In fact, this book was chosen by the 9/11 survivors as their book. It was written a year before 9/11, but it was then chosen to be given to the firefighters and the police officers' families who died in 9/11, and so I had to autograph 400 copies of the book right away.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah.
400 copies. I can't imagine what your hand felt like.
Well, it was a little tough. My living room was stacked high with books, but the publisher of that particular book gave them for free, which I thought was beautiful.
Oh, that is. Did he do a special sticker or anything that went on the front for them?
It went into a special gift basket that was given to those families.
One of the things that you mentioned to me was you do speaking engagements, and the title of it has something to do with big butt and gray hair. And I'm still laughing on that. It just made me laugh this morning on the way here.
Uh-huh.
Tell us about that.
Well, Catherine, it's something I wrote in the Red Hat Society's Lifestyle magazine. And would you like me to read this very short article I wrote?
Oh, I'd love it. And I know our audience would, too.
All right. It's called Self-Image After 50. While recently preparing for my book signing at a Northern Virginia Borders, I went through the usual nervous inner discussion while checking out my appearance. What will you wear? I don't know. Do successful authors look overweight? I'm not sure. Will they buy more copies of the book if you look your age? Maybe. Should you wear all black to look slimmer? This turmoil-filled inner dialogue finally ended with, why not be yourself? What's wrong with how you look? You simply can be the best gray-haired, pot-bellied, voluptuous bottom you can be, signing books at Borders. So that's the opening paragraph. I wish I could report that I arrived at these later years with complete grace and dignity, but like many women over 50, I do a terrible injustice to myself every time I prepare for a public appearance, whether at the local library or on national television. I make unkind, age-related judgments about myself that are detrimental to my self-esteem. Quite frankly, ladies, sometimes my self-image stinks. Self-image is the internal image we create of ourselves, and a poor one is usually based on the mistaken notion that we should look like the sweet, oh-so-put-together beauties we see on the TV screen and on the pages of magazines. We need to stop comparing ourselves to those perfect women. Personally, I've decided that actress Tyne Daly of Judging Amy, remember her, Catherine?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, is my role model. She's gray, she's round, and she's wonderful. At a certain point in our lives, we find ourselves engaged in fighting every ounce of weight gain or every hint of a wrinkle, and we are clearly making ourselves miserable in the process. Until finally, we, some of us at least, give up and forget about the whole thing. That's when we become happy again. Even sagging faces look beautiful when adorned with a smile. So, should we just nurture and support our inner selves and forget about the outer? Of course not. But we are much more than the image we project. And here comes the final episode here. How different would your life be if you woke up one day and decided to love how you look, the color of your eyes, the color of your hair, as well as the radiance of your heart? Suppose your self-image were based on how wonderfully you laugh, how honestly you cry. Suppose you decided to love your mistakes, in addition to all the good you've done for others. Show me inner beauty, and I'll show you a woman who has rid herself of the superfluous, both inside and out, kept what she needs, refused the rest, and regretted nothing. Inner beauty has an incessant glow. Several coats of black mascara won't interfere with your inner life, though, I promise. We make a mistake if we see inner beauty and outer beauty as somehow antithetical, demanding that inner loveliness stand on its own without even moisturizer or a bit of blush. Self-nurturance doesn't negate self-worth, but rather bolsters it. Even the most evolved among us still has to face the day. So as an author, I will continue to make public appearances. I've decided to go out into the world, wrinkles, gray hair, and all. Wrinkles are the stripes that represent my years of service. Each one represents a laugh, a sorrow, a ray of sunshine, or concern for another. And best of all, my gray hair gets me a seat on the bus and a discount at the movies. So I've decided to go out, you know, in the public with my big butt and gray hair and all, and just be happy. And I think that happiness is a great age defier, don't you, Catherine?
Very much so. Wow, that was beautiful.
Well, thanks.
Mm.
I do love writing.
How long have you been writing?
I think since I was 12 years old. And I think most of us who want to write probably began back then. at 16, I was writing poetry and things of that nature. But in all seriousness, I started writing for the public in about the 1980s when I started publishing the Surviving Divorce Newsletter.
When you were 16, right?
Surviving Divorce Newsletter was...
No, it took you a minute to catch that one, didn't it?
Hey, Catherine, you got me going there. Yeah, I was in my very, very late 40s at that time.
Oh, my gosh. No, we'll try to go back to 39 and holding. I like that one.
Well, you know, at my workshops, I absolutely request that women be very clear about their age, okay? And to not... You know, we have an anti-aging society, Catherine, and it's really unfortunate. I think age is something to be celebrated. In fact, can I tell you a very funny story? I went to at the request of my chiropractor, I went with my x-rays to my GP because there was a little something going on my neck, and she wanted to have it checked out. And I said to my doctor, what is that? He said, well, it's normal calcification. It's called aging. And I said, oh, darn, I don't want to age. And he said, aging is a good thing. Think of what it means to not be aging. And I thought, oh, that means you're dying. So I have since then decided that aging is a good thing.
You're absolutely right, the way society looks at women, especially. Men, I don't know if they get the same thing, but with women that are over 50, it's kind of like, it's done. Spend the last part of your years retired and doing something like sewing or knitting or...
Or spend the next 50 years of your life worrying about every wrinkle, worrying about every lump and bump on your body, and spending millions of dollars on face creams instead of going on a cruise.
Mm.
Think about that.
Yeah. Mm. Don't look at my medicine cabinet.
Got a few of those products too, you know, because I want to stay looking good. But I think we become obsessed. That's my point. And every magazine you open that's geared towards women has some sort of product in there that says anti-aging. I'm against anti-aging.
When I read about these women that are 16 years old that want to have their nose corrected, that want to have their breasts lifted or reduced, it's just in disbelief as to us as a society. What have we done? Because if you look years ago, it was about the 40-ish, 50-ish was only getting the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started getting younger and younger and younger. And Dr. Phil was talking about this, about the surgery and how far it's gone. Even to the point where, and he had one on the show actually, a 6-year-old wanted to have surgery for correction. And she was beautiful actually. And the parents wanted it too, but the grandparents didn't want it. The grandparents, of course, were on the show with the parents, and they were talking to this. For a 6-year-old, I was absolutely shocked. And he was too, actually. But let's talk about self-image. What can we do as women over 50 if we finally awaken from that sleep and realize, hey, let's start being happy with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I know you take us through some exercises in your book on self-image to build that up. What do you recommend where we start?
In terms of self-image, I think you have to start within yourself and to ask yourself, who am I now? What have I accomplished in my life? Good things can I say about myself? And you know what? You read my resume at the beginning of the show. I believe we've all got resumes with accomplishments, with things we're proud of. And that's the first step in building self-image. That's the inner journey. The second is the outer journey. Take an honest look at yourself in the mirror and say to yourself, I love you just the way you are.
With that.
I understand, but you've got to start there. You've got to start with self-love. And then self-love includes, I am now going to feed you the nutritious foods that you should be eating. And so my own personal journey, I've cut out sugar, wheat, and dairy.
Well, congratulations. I cut out the dairy.
Okay.
Yeah. The dairy I worked on and the sodas.
Mm-hmm. We can make some small changes that make a big difference in how we feel. All right. That's the goal, how we feel. Women who feel good about themselves, no matter what their body type is, all right, are going to project a very sexy image. In fact, I've interviewed men about what they think is sexy in an older woman, and they said her attitude.
Interesting, really?
Yeah, not her skinny butt or her big breasts, all right? Attitude.
Attitude on life and about
attitude
themselves?
About life and about themselves. If they think and if they feel good about themselves and they walk into a room, they're going to stand differently, talk differently. That is a turn on, and that looks good.
Is that how I need to do in order to attract a younger man?
Hey, you know what? Some of the younger men I've spoken to over the years have said that age is really not a problem for them. In fact, in other cultures, in France, for instance, women of a certain age are celebrated and thought to be very, very sexy.
I need to move to France.
Let's all go.
I'm all for it. I used to live over there in Orléans, France.
Did you?
Yeah, for 3 years. My dad was stationed there.
Well, can you speak the language? Then you can be our tour guide.
Well, my language is, that make-believe. Parlez-vous français, and that's about it.
Get 150-plus women, and we'll go to France, and we'll walk the streets, and we'll get whistled at. How about that?
Oh, I want my tush pinched.
Italy.
Oh, that's Italy. Yeah. Oh, I get those two confused. Well, we can go to Italy after France.
Oh, gosh. But, our fears, I think, keep us stuck, Catherine. And our fear of aging has us locked into this, little tiny scared world. And it's got to change.
You address a whole chapter on the topic of fears. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the topics that I do speaking engagements on, and it's very close to my heart because I look back all my years and I realize how many opportunities passed me by because of fear. Mm-hmm. And the fear was, when I was younger and growing up, the fear was from my parents, actually, and it brought it down and then brought it forward. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, out of all the things, the regret issue is that I wish I knew then what I know now. I let that go, but it's still addressing the fears now. But you know what I like about getting older is that I'm willing to take more risks now.
Uh-huh. Heard that from lots of women our age. I have. I think what happens is it's like, when we were kids, it was like we stood up in the classroom and everybody was looking at us and we were fearful to open our mouths. But now it's like, what have we got to lose? And I think that's more of a philosophy going forward. What have we got to lose?
No, that's true. I went to a bar with a friend the other day, and I hadn't been in a bar in so many years. And she was drinking at the bar, and I was sitting over at the table, and I decided to come over. And she'd been talking to a couple of guys, and when I came over, it seems like all these women and men just accumulated around me. It creates some resentment on her part. But we were talking about it later in the car, going, how come that happened? And I said, when you get to be our age, nothing really bothers you as much. You don't have to worry about all this judgment and all that kind of stuff. And she says, you were flirting like crazy. And I said, yeah, because just feel more freer to do that
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm. Moving forward, I think that we need to become less fearful. We've got a lot of time ahead of us. If we don't get run over by a bus or cancer doesn't show up or something like that, we've really got to look at our longevity, Catherine. And what are we going to do with it? Are we going to sit in a chair and say, I have wrinkles, or are we going to get out there and live our lives, start new businesses, create new challenges? I'm all for that.
No, I totally agree with you. And we're living longer lives now. Many women now are either divorced or alone for some other reason,
mm-hmm.
because their spouse passed away.
Mm-hmm. Some are alone by choice, and that's really okay.
But a lot of married people don't see that. They can't understand that.
What, alone by choice? Really wonderful being a woman in this day and age, although we're still making less money than men on the dollar, which is still annoying me, but that's another show.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I agree.
We have a very different aging ahead of us than our parents did. We really do.
When I was 30, if somebody would have said happy birthday to me when I turned 30, I would have wrung their neck.
Mm-hmm.
When I turned 40, it was okay. I could say, hey, listen, it's my 40th birthday, but I was still hesitant. When I turned 50, man, I let loose.
Oh, good for you.
It was all bottled up, and it was like, I can't do anything about this. I'm 50 years old. But when I look back at what I accomplished, I was so proud.
Good for you.
Even from the mistakes that I learned. And I think it was a huge growth. Now, it's a different story if you stand in line and you're applying for a job and you're standing in this long line to apply for this job, you know, at a job show or something like that, and you're surrounded by these beautiful 20-somethings. It gets a little intimidating.
It can, but again, that's where attitude will serve you, a positive attitude about who you are. You know, of course they can't ask your age, but you know your age. But if you're walking in there saying to yourself, oh, I'm 55, and, you know, who's going to hire me? Well, nobody. But if you walk in there saying to yourself, I'm 55, I've got wisdom and all kinds of great things to share, then, hey, you're more likely to be hired. We've got to have a major attitude adjustment in this country. Not just about how we view ourselves, but how we view our baby boomer citizens and the people that are coming up in the next few years. We're an enormous group, and they're going to have to take us seriously.
I agree 100%. Are you going to be addressing some of these issues that are in your book a little deeper on your new blog?
I just opened a blog yesterday, all right, or this is the day before, it doesn't matter. But I was a little fearful of blogging, and then I read up on it. I did some research. I printed out some things. My first publisher sent me some information on blogging, and I sat down very quietly, and I read it, and I thought, okay, I can do this. And sure enough, it wasn't that hard. It's a great way, I think, to market oneself.
It is.
We shall see. I'm new at this. What can you tell me about it?
Your blog is Next 50 Years, and 50 is spelled out, F-I-F-T-Y, right? .blogspot.com.
You got it. Find all the information about my books and where I'm going to be appearing around the country and things like that.
Okay. And the book that we're talking about is The Next 50 Years, and that can be found at the next50years.com website.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can go to Pam Blair, and it kind of goes over to that website. You have a
right,
link?
Right, it's got links to all my books there.
Okay. You have a course, too, don't you?
Yeah, and it's the Next 50 Years online course.
The Next 50YearsCourse.com?
Yeah.
And that's not exactly like the book, since
right.
I did both of them. Mm-hmm. And it's a little different, but I really like the interaction, being the writer, so I enjoyed that.
And, Catherine, there's more room on the online course because the field, I think, takes a lot more than maybe the lines in my book do.
Yeah.
As far as I understand.
Well, we're going to take a short break.
Believe in what your heart is saying. Hear the melody that's playing. There's no time to waste. There's so much to celebrate. Believe in what you feel inside. Give your dreams the wings to fly. You have everything you need if you just believe.
Welcome back. Our guest today happens to be Dr. Blair, and we've been talking about her writing and self-image and about her book, actually, The Next 50 Years, A Guide for Women at Midlife and Beyond. It's about not giving up your life at the age of 50 and thinking it's all over, but actually it's a beginning of a new life. Welcome back.
I'm so delighted to be on this show today. By the way, before we get too much further, I just want to tell you that the poet in my book is my sister, Marilyn.
We were talking about self-image, and thank you for sharing that article earlier about big butt and gray hair. I'm still laughing about that. The red hat, too, the Red Hat Society. I think it's a great society. In your book, you talk about spirituality, creativity, about your environment, work and play, finances, family and friends, our minds, our emotions, fears, and the myths about women aging. What are some of the myths that we hear?
Aging is going to be a time of loneliness and decrepitude, that we're all depressed, that it's more stressful to be older, that you no longer have meaning or purpose in your life. These myths really get in the way of moving forward. Oh, that we need to be protected, although we may want to ask for protection from time to time, that our talents dim. I really, really want to fight some of those myths. If I can help it, when I get on the road, that's exactly what I'm going to be doing.
What do you mean by on the road? Now, if they can find out where you're speaking at, is that at pamblair.com? Is it up on the website?
Pamblair.com is probably the best place to go to find all about all that information.
Okay, and you're going to be speaking in several spots in California and then Connecticut? Because you live up in New York, right?
I'm in New York, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, are you in the city?
I'm just outside the city, Catherine, in Westchester County, where nobody can afford to buy a house. I'm lucky I bought mine in 1981. But it's a lovely area, and I'm beginning in the next 5 or 6 years, in fact, I'm beginning right now to look for places to retire. So if you've got any great suggestions, let me know. All I need is a place to write and a fireplace.
Well, they say Arizona is the greatest place because I know Natalie Goldberg and Julia Cameron out there.
You love those people, and so do I.
Yeah.
They're real, very inspirational to women who want to write. In fact, as you do, I recommend that people read Natalie Goldberg and Julia Cameron. Book. Cutting Down the Bones is Natalie Goldberg's book.
Right.
And what's the one by Julia?
The Artist's Way.
The Artist's Way.
Natalie Goldberg's book, Writing Down the Bones, can be a little shocker, I think, if you are not open to it. When I first read it, I got the audio tape.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to it, and I just couldn't figure out where she was coming from.
Mm-hmm. Well, what she's coming from is a non-judgmental place about your yourself. In other words, just write. Instead of judging everything that you're putting down on paper. If you want to be a writer, just write. Get out of your way. She calls it getting rid of monkey mind.
Yeah.
Do you remember that part?
Yeah, I do.
All right, and the monkey mind is that chatter that goes on in the background that says, you can't write. Who do you think you are? Somebody's already written that. Ugh. And moving past all of that chatter and just sitting down to write is what it's all about. For me, anyway.
You prepared a wonderful handout for us, and it's up on the letstalkmarketingshow.com website called Dating After 50.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say thank you very much, and it's been downloaded quite a few times in just the past 4 days.
So glad.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of questions on about getting back into the dating game after mm-hmm. 50.
First, get that attitude right, okay? And the attitude is not an arrogant attitude. It's an attitude of, I am a goddess.
Okay. I am a goddess.
I am a goddess.
Is that a good mantra in the morning?
Oh, absolutely. I am a goddess. You've seen a photograph of what they've unearthed in ancient sites. Goddesses are all round and beautiful and, you know, they're goddesses. And so if we can see ourselves that way, we'll have a much better time dating.
I like to dress that way, too, don't you? Don't you like loose, flowing clothes?
Oh, yeah. They're a lot of fun, I have to tell you. Why not?
Yeah. I like to go barefoot and grass and put on the flowing clothes and mm-hmm. do some crazy stuff. I noticed that you belong to the International Women's Writers Guild.
Yes. Oh, what a wonderful organization that is.
Oh, I'm a member as well.
Are you?
Yes.
Oh, I know that, Catherine. It's at IWWG.com, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that's their website. And the International Women Writers Guild is filled with women who want to support each other. It's authors who have been published. It's people who have just yesterday picked up a pencil and decided what to do with it. So there's a broad range of experience. Have you ever been to one of their meetings?
I go to Skidmore every year.
Oh, you do? All right, that's
yeah.
what I meant.
The international conference that they have.
I've been to the Skidmore conference, but I've been down to New York City when they have the workshops and meetings down there. In fact, I was an invited speaker last year.
I saw women dressing with the flowing, wearing wreaths on their head, and uh-huh. just being themselves, and some of them for the first time. I really didn't know what to make of that the first year, which was about 7 years ago when I went. It was just amazing the way women got together and the way they talked and they shared and they wrote and they cried. I mean, I saw a lot of tears, but they were tears of joy, tears of release of some of the things that we were going through.
You know, Catherine, when women get together, no matter what their age, but especially, okay, in the later years, we are an awesome group in terms of being able to support each other and love each other just where we are. We're awesome.
I agree. I totally agree. Except you get women in business and then all of a sudden change personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets competitive and sometimes dangerous with the games that they play behind their back.
Well, women in business are, at our age, I'm seeing more and more of women who were in the corporate world wanting to let go of that and start the next venture.
In fact, the statistics say that there's more entrepreneur women over the age of 50 now than ever before. In fact, the numbers are doubling and tripling.
Yeah, and I coach these women. and they're very fearful at first. But once they take the leap, all right, and set things in, you know, that's another whole show, isn't it, Catherine, to talk about the entrepreneurs and how we can set that up for ourselves. But once they take the leap and embrace what they've always wanted to do, these women flourish. I love seeing that.
Yeah, it took me a while, but I think now you're right. Once the fears are gone, or not gone, I don't think fears are ever really totally gone, but once they subside or you dance around them, I call dancing with the fears. Once I dance around my fear, get to the other side, I get a little, maybe a day or two, pissed at myself because it took so blasted long.
Right.
And then I could celebrate.
Well, first you have to move past the fear. My greatest fears was getting this book written. And I have to tell you, I'm really glad I got it done. Can I mention that it includes a study guide?
Oh, yeah. Talk about the study guide.
That's part of the book, okay? So it's included in the back. And if other groups can form around the country, in fact, my publishers are pushing this as a grassroots sort of movement around the country, and just mailed out the study guide to 10,000 various churches and other women's organizations to get them interested in getting the book going.
Study guide is great, but I've been through the book 7 times now. It's got a calling. It's got a passion.
Oh,
so I really appreciate you writing.
I get to meet you in person. I really do.
Okay. We will. Who knows? We might get to Skidmore again together. Let's talk about marketing after 50.
Sure.
How does it really change for a woman that's going out and competing against other people doing somewhat or similar things than they are, that have salespeople that are 20-ish or 30-ish that are size 5 or 2, and they don't have that big butt in the
You know something? Personally, when I was younger, if somebody with more wisdom than myself came and to sell me something, because I was in the corporate world for about 18 years, I was an office manager and a consultant with a computer graphics company, and people would come through to sell me something. And if somebody was older, I paid more attention to them than I did to the young whippersnapper. I really did. What about you?
Well, yeah, I did, actually. And I think that was probably something that my parents drone into me, was to respect your elders. I think that's being lost, though, in the generations that followed us.
You think it's being lost? Well, then we need to re-educate them, don't we? See, Catherine, we're pioneers, and we're the first generation of women and men who can anticipate living this long. So we've got to teach, all right, what aging is and what the benefits are. We've got to begin teaching that.
And I got to stop and think about that, actually, that we are the pioneers for the next generation.
Yeah.
Oprah did that on her big gala that she had recently. Mm-hmm. She congratulated a lot of the people that were older than she was, that have accomplished all these magnificent things that really set the path for what she's doing today.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't stop to think about that. In fact, I had a conversation with a group of women that were in their 30s about this same topic, and they just haven't even a clue about it. They haven't even stopped to think about it.
About what kind of legacy they're leaving?
No, it's about us being pioneers. Mm-hmm. It's about us setting the path for what they can accomplish next.
Exactly.
Because, like, they go into the next level, but they couldn't have gone to the next level unless we paved the way for them.
And think about some of the women who have empowered you in your life, okay? Some of the older women that have left a mark on you. And if we can do that, we are sailing into the next generation. Whether we're here or not, we really have left a legacy.
Well, I think that older women are teachers.
We are.
They teach us patience. They teach us the mistakes that they've learned. They give us shortcuts, saying, hey, listen, it took me 3 years to do this and accomplish this, but since I've done that, and now that in hindsight I can look back and say, I could have done this differently in a shorter period of time. And that's what they're sharing with us. They're sharing in books such as yourself, The Next 50 Years, in audio tapes and seminars and speaking engagements. I believe that our generation happens to be the mentors of the next generation.
Yes, in fact we are. And so I am busy going out there, and anybody who'd like to support my effort getting the word out, buy the book and work it through, and then sit down and teach it and talk about it with your colleagues, your friends, your children. In fact, the book was set up so that you could hand this down to a younger woman if you want to. And I'm hoping that some people will do that in terms of, you know, here's my wisdom, read about this.
And that's why you encourage people to write in the book.
Absolutely. That's why there's lines in the book on which to write your thoughts and your feelings.
Okay, because it's like a journal.
Yeah, yeah. You can either keep it for yourself or hand it down.
One of the things that I came up with last night was, is because I really don't like to write in book, but I write off the page and I write on paper. But what I did was create an 8.5 by 11 envelope, and I glued it to the inside back of the book so that I can stuff some different things in there, some notes and ideas. Then I take sticky notes, I stick it on that page and say, I've got a note inside of there.
It's very interesting. I find that the people who are most afraid of writing in books are girls that were brought up in Catholic school.
Well, you know? I'm guilty.
Okay, that answers my...
That's my background.
Okay.
Yeah, and a couple of years to Catholic school when I was really super young, so... I never thought of it that way. Boy, you've really enlightened me on that one. I actually grew up in school in Europe. My dad was military, and I grew up there until I was 16, and then I graduated from this is high school over there, actually a French school up in Switzerland.
You're a very interesting woman. I need to interview you. Catherine, I have a client coming in a few minutes. Is there something else that you wanted to ask me before we stop?
Well, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing with us today about how we can accomplish more over the age of 50, not having those fears and those self-images. So I appreciate you coming, Dr. Blair.
It's been a delight being with you, Catherine. I hope we meet again soon.
You take care.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye. Dr. Pamela Blair is our guest today, and I really appreciate her coming on the air with us today and taking it out from her busy schedule. Her website is www.pamblair.com. And the book that we were talking about earlier is called The Next 50 Years, A Guide for Women at Midlife and Beyond. And it's actually kind of like a workbook. Even the paper, it's the kind that you were encouraged to write on. It's an 8.5 by 11 book, very big, very thick. What I enjoyed about the book is to take it in stages. There were some chapters that I could address and some I didn't want. I didn't feel I was ready quite yet for. And I went through the book about 7 times in the past several months, and each time I was able to address a different chapter or a different item. But if you're interested in the book, you can check it out at www.thenext50years, and that's 50, it's not spelled out, but thenext50years.com. She has a blog, The Next 50 Years for Women.blogspot.com, but that 50 is actually spelled out F-I-F-T-Y. She puts on a course, but you can find the course whether or not you go to her website, www.pamblair.com or thenext50years.com. Dr. Blair also has created a handout which is available on the letstalkmarketingshow.com website, and it's called Dating After 50. Our sponsor today is the Abundance Center. Visit today and add more abundance to your life at www.abundancecenter.com. That's abundancecenter.com. This is your host, Catherine Franz, and the Let's Talk Marketing Show at WEBR Fairfax. Because I want you to realize the time to change is now, and it takes action, and sometimes massive action, if you really want to be successful. See you next Tuesday on the radio. I look forward to chatting with you on the internet. Send me an email at host@letstalkmarketingshow.com or greeting you across the streets of America. Have a wonderful, beautiful Tuesday, and remember, there's not another one like June 27, 2006, ever again in your lifetime. Make it worthwhile.